We're about to start up here. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have an assorted cast. We have the return of a cast, and we've got some. We'll just say we got some surprises. We got some stuff that's not so much of a surprise to us, and we've just got a lot of fun stuff we're going to be talking about. So, anything from Batman to Fallout to, you guessed it, Beavis and Butthead, we're talking about tonight. So, thank you so much for joining. Yeah, and on that note, we are going to go. Welcome all you geek enthusiasts and nerd aficionados. Masonic Vader hosted this week's show on the Malice Corp channel. This is season 4, episode 27, because it's written down on my paper, so that must be right. I am your host, Masonic Vader. Like I said, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. We have a great cast tonight joining us. But before we do it, we introduce everybody. We're going to start off our show like we do every time. It's getting your geek on.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Getting your geek on is our little way of telling you guys what's the cool stuff happening this week, at least that what we thought has been cool, what we've been doing, what you think you should enjoy or maybe not enjoy. This week for myself, I have been fully immersed into Elite Dangerous. I talked about a little bit about last week. This was a game that's been around since, no joke, 1984. And I do believe I did play that game back in 1984 on the Commodore. But it's a really cool game. You can play it on PC, on PS4. I think it's on all the platforms now, except for maybe Nintendo Switch. I'm not sure. But what's really unique about it, it's one of those types of games where you're flying around in space. You could be a trader. You could be a pirate. You could join a squad. You could run missions. You could transport people. But the unique thing about it is that this game is not like a reboot. It's a continuation. So right now, you could visit over 400 billion planets in this system. I think it's by far the biggest gameplay map in all the computers or all the games. You can get lost forever in a day. So that has been my geek this week. Nothing negative going on.
I'm guessing when you played it on the Commodore, there's maybe a whole bunch of black space and the green dot spaceships.
Yeah, it's very close to asteroids, probably. Yeah, I can't remember it though because it was, you know, it was like a century ago, I think. All right, joining me tonight on the cast, I've got three wonderful castmates with me here. We're gonna start off because it's always ladies first in my book. Elle, welcome back to the show. How you doing tonight?
Doing pretty good. I missed this. It feels like it's been a while since I've been drinking with a bunch of men I don't know on a Friday night.
Ew.
Wow. College days all over again. Cheers to that.
Oh,
all
right. Yeah. Cheers. Ta. What I've been geeking out on recently, I watched all of Netflix's Unsolved Mysteries. It was okay. Some of them were not mysteries. They're just like, that dude totally did it. They just didn't have enough evidence. But yeah, no, totally did it. Also, my husband's been making me watch Scrubs on Hulu.
Nice.
Which I'd seen a couple episodes here and there before, but never really got into it. So he's making me watch that now, and it's okay. I don't mind it.
Are you watching it from the very beginning?
Good.
I think the word is brilliant.
No, like, I get it. It's cute. Everything is like a gag, though. Like, it's all gags and really good music. So it kind of balances it out. I like Zach Braff. I really do. And, Faison. The dude who was in Clueless, that guy,
Donald,
he's cool.
Donald Faison.
But yeah, no, so that's what I've been geeking out on.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. Thank you very much. By the way, Scrubs does get a lot better as the years go on. It's a very funny show.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
All right, and of course, joining us again is our, thank God he's clothed, Nudie Rudy. How you doing today, sir?
Doing excellent. Glad to be here. Happy to join everybody. My main geek has been this week, actually switched video games. Final Fantasy VII Remake, kind of put that down for a bit because they had DC Injustice, Gods Among Us, for free on PlayStation. So I downloaded that and been playing the crap out of that, enjoying that quite thoroughly. A good fighting game is always a fun diversion. No, it's an older one, but enjoying myself. And yeah, let's see. I think since last time we talked, I finished up Doom Patrol, and I started watching Black Mirror. I've had many people recommend that, so about three episodes in, and really thoroughly enjoying it. Good show. Highly recommend.
How'd you like that mind warpness of Doom Patrol?
Oh yeah, no, that was good. I really enjoyed the wrap up, the denouement, as if you may. It was a really fun show, all in all. Good acting, dude. Brendan Fraser coming back, like, you know, it was good. Definitely, thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to that next season.
It's not the Brendan Fraser we know. It's the Brendan Fraser we need right now.
Yes. That would go.
All right, and also back to the show. After a little bit of a break, we have the returning IC Zorro, looking like the Big Show. How you doing, sir? Welcome back.
I'll take it. You know, the big beard, I get it. I'm quite a bit shorter than him. So in the off time when I was traveling around and stuff, I usually travel with my PS4 with me. So I've been playing Call of Duty Warzone easy. That is a monster game. And if you like shooters, it's a fantastic one. I played through all of The Last of Us 2, which I know we're probably going to talk about next week or coming up soon.
Naughty Dog has
not let us down. They are still the best in the game at storytelling. It's fantastic. And then on my sister's recommendation, I watched a Netflix show called Love, which stars Gillian Jacobs and is produced by Judd Apatow. It's been only about 3 seasons of it, but it's... If you like realistic, quirky kind of rom-com sitcom stuff, it's a good show. And Gillian Jacobs is really, really talented.
I enjoyed that show. It was fun. Although that relationship, those two, like, yeah, that's one of those, real life never. Just not. No.
It's messed up. Yeah.
We've got a great show tonight. We've got some great topics. Let's just get right into it because I know we could talk about some of this stuff all day and all night and however long we need to. Let's get into the main part of the show. This is the Nerd News. Yeah. So the Nerd News tonight is pretty awesome, especially since we've been talking about this on and off now for the last couple of weeks. So the news of the last couple of weeks in nerd news and geek wonders and everything has been the fact of Batman. We got some images of Pattinson's Batman. Looked all right. But then last week we talked about it. There are talks going on about Mr. Michael Keaton donning the Batman cowl yet again. It's been 30 years since he has donned it. It's still considered probably to be one of the best Batman to actually wear the cowl. Well, since we talked about this last week, there's actually been some more information brought out to the world to kind of let you guys know that DC's finally starting to get something going here. Preliminary report says that Keaton's deal to come back as Batman is going to be set up for possibly 10. That's right. It's 10 Diaz in Espanol performances. Which include possibly 3 major support roles and in 7 cameos. And on top of that, there's also talks of him being the, what you want to call the mentor or whatever for the Batgirl movie. And potentially, because this has been a rumor that's been going around, possibly him donning Batman Beyond, because that's something people have been wanting about. So if you read the article, they give you information about how this is going to be more of like a Nick Fury role in Marvel, to where he's going to be making these cameos, making these supportive appearances enough to put his imprint on there, but not dominate the movie. Who wants to go first? You can see in my eyes that I'm already excited, but who wants to go first?
Yeah, no, I mean, he proved he still has the chops for the superhero movies with his Vulture role. I think it was great having him back, and he made a real complex villain that I think was believable and really good, you know, a good portrayal. And he's still my favorite Batman, hands down. So, I mean, Bale, great job. You know, the whole Batman Dark Knight Returns series is great, but Keaton will always be my Batman. It'll be great having him there. And I think it's a fun idea hearing about him doing the tie-in, the Nick Fury cameos, different roles. And he can really do a lot with his mentor role and all kinds of stuff. But I don't know, I'm sure we're going to get into it next with the rest of the story. But for me, the craziest thing is that we have freaking – oh, okay, I guess I'll wait.
Yeah. We'll wait. Oh, yeah, that's the second part of this. Keep going. Yeah. Okay. So you're excited about the Keaton coming back, huh?
Very much.
Yeah, absolutely. L, throw your weight in. What's going on? What do you say?
I like Keaton as Batman. And putting him in like a Nick Fury-esque role would kind of make the only sense, because that dude is like old as hell right now. So, I think it'd be good. The Robert Pattinson thing. I'm really interested in seeing him as Batman. I think he could do really right by that character. Because everybody's like, Twilight. It's like, no, he's done some good stuff in the past. So, Keaton, cool. Like, just don't try and, like, swing from buildings or something. He'll break a hip.
Without a walker, right? I see.
I mean, who doesn't love Keaton as Batman? Batman 89 set, I mean, it's arguably one of the greatest, earliest superhero movies. You know, it kind of, it kicked off that first wave, or that, you know, that late 80s, early 90s wave of superhero movies, and Michael Keaton was a huge part of that. You know, everybody saw him as just this weird comedy actor. You know, he was Mr. Mom and Multiplicity and all that, and to see him come in and he had such great gravitas as Bruce Wayne, but still with kind of a light, funny, playful side. It's going to be really interesting to see how he has evolved that character in his own head over the past 30 years. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it's not only just going back to Nudie's comment about he did Vulture, but actually I think what really was the catalyst for him kind of getting back into the cow stuff was the movie he did. I think he did 2012 Birdman. Yeah, didn't he get Oscar like eyes on that and stuff? Didn't he get like nominated for an Oscar for that?
It got nominated. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did, but I know the movie did.
Yeah, it's to me it's very exciting. Because, like I mentioned last time, it was the first time I remember going to see that movie with my dad, Batman. I remember the whole hype it had with Taco Bell backing it up and how they started their cinnamon twists and all the other crazy stuff they were doing. I mean, there was so much stuff that went in. That was like the biggest marketed movie that became so successful. I mean, they did everything exactly. It was almost like 80s toy lines. Where they made a cartoon, a toy, and then made a cartoon. It was so successful. They did the same thing, but they did it to movies. And they were able to bring it to life. And it wasn't go ahead.
I'm pretty sure that half the cups in our car when I was growing up were like Batman collectible McDonald's cups, you know?
They were actually Taco Bell, and I have them in the my other room.
Was it Taco Bell?
Yes,
I know
it was.
We had them. I know.
Yeah, I will bring. I'll remember to bring them out next cast. I have them, but yeah, it's awesome to see it. I'm excited to see him in that role because comes the second part of this. Bearded Master and I'm gonna hold myself up in the superhero pose. We're the only ones that actually I think had this, or at least called this out. And I think it was last week. And I don't know if the editor wants to throw some cuts in from last week.
No.
But we had mentioned something that could come out of the Keaton signing, and everyone's like, no. And Bearded Master and I were like, it ain't gonna happen. And sure enough, reports in that Ben Affleck, I think that's how you pronounce his name, right? Ben Affleck. Something like that.
Affleck.
Batfleck.
Yeah, yeah, Batfleck too. Has
you Ben Affleck.
I believe he has signed. Reports say he's already signed with HBO Max to don the cowl again. So once again, we have the Snyder effect happening here. Justice League going to be redone in HBO. Henry Cavill's back. And guess what? Now Batman's back. Inside there, they're saying that the signing will allow him to do, it sounds like they're doing they don't know exactly what they're thinking. Cameos, they're thinking miniseries. They're even thinking possible full-on film. They're even talking about possibly bringing in the Batflick back into the scenario, because obviously when Snyder left and What Joe? What's his name that took over for Snyder? Can't think. It was JM. I can't remember. I know his initials. I just can't think of his name. Someone in the chat room will save me on that one.
Snyder. It was Joss Whedon.
I mean, there was someone else that was writing. I think for the Batman. I think for the Batman film is what I think they meant to say. But anyways, since Ben left, everything went to shite. Okay, HBO's picked up the Snyder Cut. Henry Cavill's back. They've signed Affleck, and now they're talking about doing the Batflick, bringing that back out to so he could do that. Which means we're also going to get the return of Joe Mazzanello as Deathstroke, and Leto as the Joker. So two out of three things aren't bad, you know. I'll take Batflick if I have to. If I have to suffer to Leto.
Yeah, this is going to be, you know, that Spider-Man gif where they're all pointing at each other and there's three Spider-Mans.
Yes, at the end, yeah.
With three Batmans. Like, and then two Supermans, perhaps. And
It's raining Batman.
It's a lot.
Well, just remember, though, they've done a good job of saying that.
I'm hoping they recover their song like that.
Just remember that Pattinson, they made a coercive kind of like a whole thing of saying that Pattinson's Batman movie is something totally opposite or away from this, just like the Joaquin Phoenix Joker. These guys are totally separate from the Justice League storyline, which I think that's how they're going to start phrasing it from this point forward. Everything talking about movies-wise, Batflick, Henry Cavill, all this stuff is going to be Justice League. And then these other things are going to be specific, it looks like, toward the individual that they're playing.
And whichever one of the three of them draws the short straw has to go to the CW.
Yes. Yeah, the CW is slowly but surely getting it, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, and Pat Bat is their demographic, so that works for them.
Yeah.
All those teeny boppers.
Yeah. Now, so, Nudie, what do you think about – do you want to see Affleck come back? Do you want to see Deathstroke? Joker, do you want to see this stuff happen?
Well, Batfleck wasn't my favorite Batman. I will completely agree. Oswald, give him a chance, but didn't really do it for me. But I do think there's room. It was well trod by the comic book series that we've had for years of the whole multiverse angle. I mean, it's already laid out for them. There's nothing weird or incongruous about having three simultaneous Batmen. Like, it works. Like we've already seen it in the, you know, Into the Spider-Verse was a very fun animated version that's already kind of got people behind it, and they're all in one flick. So, honestly, I think it'd be kind of fun. Like, I think it's strange, but there's definitely precedent for it, and fun to have three concurrent Batman. Why not? As long as each is its own beast, like you said, I think it honestly could be fun seeing the different visions, and, you know, I got no problems with plenty of bat action. So, you know, the more bat, the better.
So I see then, since I want to hear your opinion on this, do you think Marvel has done enough to save DC?
What?
Yeah.
Do you mean Marvel Cinematic Universe has built enough of a structure that people should be expecting quality, you know, long form entertainment, multiple movies built on top of each other. But we trust Marvel. We trust Kevin Feige. You know, the Snyderverse has been super hit and miss. You can never tell if it's going to be quality or not when they're first announcing it. I mean, the fact that these guys are coming back, that Keaton's coming back, that Affleck's coming back, that bodes well. But as far as has Marvel done enough to save DC? No, I think Marvel's done enough to make billions and billions of dollars for Marvel. DC has to save itself.
Well, and I go by saying that only because if you look at this, I think DC has finally seen someone in the offices at Warner Brothers or whoever the hell it is finally saw the light and said, hey, look, we made money off the first Justice League movie. Probably not as much as we wanted to, but we made money off that. We could let's stick to this because it worked for Marvel. It's not like Iron Man. I mean, Iron Man made a bunch of movie, but it's not like it's making the movie the money it's making now. So right. Spider-Man multi-universe movie is what's really kind of making, I think DC's the one that started talking about Flashpoint first, but Marvel made the move on the multi-universe first. And now it's got DC like, okay, this is our way to save it. I think Marvel's doing a good job of far away subliminally coaching DC and saving their asses.
Wait, concept. Batman's versus Superman, hashtag Civil War.
We had that. We had that. That was supposed to be the first Superman movie. The first Batman movie, but excuse me.
DC is also not as good at their movie products with their TV products. If you remember, like Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.s and Agent Carter and all this, the TV properties integrated into the world of the Marvel, you know, the MCU. Whereas if you're going to try multiverse stuff with multiple Batman, well, the CW DC universe has already killed off every other universe. There's just one now. They collapsed them all after Crisis on Infinite Earths. So their movie properties and their TV properties are not exactly meshing well.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. And I mean, I guess the one thing that goes, and the reason why that helps, I mean, Marvel is better at it is because Marvel already had established movies and they set forth with the TV versus DC already had the TV and they were trying to reignite the movies. Because they've technically had the movie since the early 80s. Let's be real. DC's had the head start.
Superman was 1978?
Yeah, exactly. So they've had it for a long time. It's just they have to try to keep reigniting because they lose track easily. Superman 3 and 4. Anyways, let me take a quick swing at that one really quick. Yeah, I stuck DC with that one. Inside the chat room, let me go back here and see what's going on here. So let's see here. Well, we might as well get this out of the way because the chat room's all for it. They're thinking about Batcage. Batcage. But he's supposed to be Superman. God.
No, yeah. He can run Superman.
He literally has a child named Kal-El.
Damn. Gosh darn it. I'm not a Nick Cage. Well, okay, I am a Nick Cage fan, but I'm not like hardcore like these guys are. All right, let's see what else. Kat Sadow. Justice League 2, probably another film, but will lead to Affleck, Batman getting killed, saving the world, probably. Let's see. They're trying to beat Sony before Spider-Man multiverse live film. I could see that because, yeah, that's looking like it's more and more. Let's see here. Mess 5150. We're going to get two more DC universes, the HBO Max verse, and then the original films verse with Keaton. I lost track there. And the new verse with Pattinson. It's technically three, I think. Whatever. All right, there's going to be lots of them. Let's see here. Let's see. Kat Sadow talk about going back and taking a page from the CW. Movie version of the Arrowverse. Okay, I see that, yeah. Leading the Crisis, yeah, which we've been talking about. Okay,
that
DC.
That brings up a good point at the end there.
Yeah, hold on a second. Let me get there. Rumor 2 says DC execs are ruining the movies. They can't blame Snyder. And Cannon Fodder thinks they're grasping at straws. Mike, Ben, and Rob, I am still there. Okay, cool. So, yeah, and if you remember down the street in La Mesa. Oh, yeah, yeah. Lovebug 4192, my sister, reminds me of back when I think I might mention this before we get on to what you're about to say, I see. There was a guy six houses up the street from where we lived, where I lived in high school, that actually designed the original Batmobile out of a Corvette for movie premieres and stuff. So I actually got to watch that get designed right up the street. It was pretty sick.
Cars when you were in high school?
Yeah. Yeah. Like literally it was six houses up in his own house. Yeah. Yeah. And yes, they had cars when I was in high school, bitch. sorry. That was a cough there. My bad.
No, you can make a Batmobile out of a Model A.
You dick. I see. What were you going to throw in there?
Well, at the end of the chat there, Mess threw in what I consider to be a pretty good point in favor. He played a very Batman-like character in the movie Kick-Ass. I don't know if he was modeling that, you know, that character after Batman, but it sure felt like it.
Oh man, that dude was crazy. Yeah, yeah, I remember that. That's true. Child.
It was like child. Yeah, it was like if Batman was psychotic and poor.
I, you know, end off the Batflick stuff. I'm interested. I want to see Deathstroke come back. I was really excited to see Deathstroke at the end of the Batman versus Superman, right? And they had him meeting up with Lex Luthor on the yacht. I was excited to see him as Deathstroke. Like, holy crap balls. That would have been awesome to see that in the next movie. So, yeah, I hope that happens. Cross my fingers. Anything else you guys want to throw in before we give DC a rest for another 3 years like they do in the movies?
I would love to see Deathstroke as well. Joe Manganiello, perfect for that role, and also a giant nerd.
I don't think he can, though. I think he sold his soul to what is it? Deathwater? What was it called again? What was that water again? The water in the can from Australia?
Liquid Death.
Liquid Death, that's right. Apparently you could sell your soul to Liquid Death, and they'll send you a contract for it and get a free six-pack or 24 case of it. So,
like, I assume he sold his soul to Satan in order to marry, what's her name?
Sophia Ferrara? No, I was saying he probably sold his soul to Wizards of the Coast because he's trying to get anyone to play D&D with him, which I definitely would. But yeah, he's a little too gung-ho for D&D.
Dude, that would be badass if he did it to a point where he puts you in some kind of torture rack at the end and stuff. If you lose, you die. Because
he hosts the celebrity D&D game.
Oh yeah, no, there's a contest.
Sophia Vergara is wandering around in the background making snacks for people.
Oh my gosh, that'd be great. No, they're literally doing a contest right now. If you buy so many tickets or whatever, you can, whoever gets chosen will play D&D with Joe Manganiello and go to Wizards of the Coast headquarters in Seattle or wherever the hell it is.
Honestly, yeah, I think he needs to take a little time out of his schedule and get a Randy Macho Man Savage movie made. If you've never heard him do his impression of Macho Man, it is spot on.
He's too tall. Too tall. You'd have to put everybody else on like stilts or something like that. It'd be crazy. All right. Hey, let's move.
Hugh Jackman was too tall to play Wolverine, and that worked out.
That's true. Let's move on. Let's not get, we've got to keep this thing going just in case if people out there in the world have things to do on this pandemic July 3rd, Friday night, 4th of July weekend, party hard in the living room or the dining room area. All right. Next thing in nerd news. We're getting another, Westworld producers, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy, are taking on another popular franchise and bring it to life. They are going to be, or they're in the process of writing a script for a Fallout show to be seen on Amazon. Okay. This goes with a slew of other games that are getting TV show pilots, HBO getting The Last of Us, Showtime getting Halo, Borderlands apparently has something in the process where Kate Blanchett's going to be the one of the lead roles. So now Amazon's going to get their dips as far as taking on the Fallout franchise. Now, of course, they picked Westworld producers and creators, which I think is a phenomenal pick to bring that world to life.
Absolutely.
They definitely need it after they almost screwed the pooch on the franchise with Fallout 76. What's your guys' thoughts on this? Do you want to see a Fallout television show? Do you think it's deemed worthy enough to see something come to life?
Yeah,
go for it.
I never actually played Fallout. I watched my brothers play Fallout, but to be fair, I played Elder Scrolls, which is essentially the same goddamn thing, just a different skin on it, to the point where they're still describing what type of door you're opening. So, yeah. So as long as they describe what type of door you're opening in the series, like, yeah, that seems legit. That seems like something Bethesda would do to show. Are you opening a heavy door? Are you opening a crack door? What type of door are you opening? They'll tell you.
Fortunately, they got rid of that in Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. I think I would have hit my head against a heavy door if they did that still. I see. I saw you shaking your head first when I first asked the question. What are you feeling, sir?
I was shaking my head because you referenced Fallout 76, which was hot garbage. Fallout 4 is one of my favorite games I've ever played. I put probably over 100 hours into that thing, played through to all four endings that I could figure out. And I just wonder, like, which specific world would they be, what game would they be patterning it after? Fallout 4, New Vegas, 76, where would they be placing it? But yeah, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy seem like the perfect choice for something like this. They've already proved with Westworld that they can handle serious material in both dark and funny ways, which is the reverse of Fallout. I think that'd be great.
So, Nudie, before I get to you really quick, I want to throw in some of the stuff in the chat room because I got some good answers here. So, first of all, Ruru2 wanted to sit there and say, is Bonesaw's ready? You know, not too bad there. They also want to see the Fallout TV series. Mess5150 says, no, not the same. Then Ruru2 wants to know if there's going to be power armor. There better be power armor because that's one of the things about Fallout that's awesome. Yeah, there's got to be power armor. Cannon Fodder believes the new Amazon show Fallout the Quarantine years. Apparently, we're living in it right now. Katz says it has potential being on the Amazon a higher budget. And then Cannon Fodder wants to throw out there and say that Fallout and the Elder Scrolls are not the same. And trust me, I've seen this guy play those games. He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, they're not the same.
They're not the same.
Oh, no, I know. But they really like to describe what type of door you're opening, though, in both games.
You better watch out, because if you keep talking the other way, he's going to hack her feed somehow and get in there and start ripping you to shreds. I've seen that guy do it. Fallout started out as an overhead RPG and became the first-person shooter RPG. That's what Smith's throwing in there. Some of the things really quick before I get into one more thing, Nudie, is just throw this in there. When they write this series, the series has a commitment penalty on it, which means if Amazon execs are interested or like what they write, it goes direct to series. So I missed that little note I put on there and stuff. Nudie, what were you going to, or Superman or Clark Kent, whoever you want to call yourself right now. What were you going to throw in there on this one, sir?
Fallout is one of my favorite universes in any media, hands down. I love the kitschy 50s, you know, atomic age vibe, atom punk, as it is called, kind of like steampunk and cyberpunk and all that stuff. It's got its own whole, like, language that it speaks in. And I mean, I've been playing Fallout since the very first Fallout iteration back on PC, and every single version of Fallout that's been out, I've played it and I've adored. And personally, speaking of what Zoro was saying, I think New Vegas would probably be a real fun universe to go. I think that's some of the best storyline of any of the Fallouts, and they all definitely have very similar themes and tie-ins and things. Leaving the vault for the first time and all that always tie in with a lot of the different franchises. But I cannot be excited more for checking this out and for having this universe be expanded and brought forward, and you know, just have more content there within the Fallout universe. I love it. Can't wait. Got my little bobblehead with me waiting to watch. Yeah.
I'm hoping they skip Vegas and go to Fallout 4 era, only because I don't know. I'm getting tired of Vegas this and Vegas this that. There's so much Vegas stuff out there with shows and everything that I would like them to do something just different. And I felt that because I played Vegas, Fallout 4, and Fallout 76. And I think out of the three, Fallout 4 had the better open world, had the better, like, there was more stories to come with. There was a little bit more uniqueness to it, a little bit more explanation, in a sense, a little bit more history when they were talking about the different aspects of the resistance and everything out of it, from all the way from the when it's like the redcoats and everything all over again. I mean, you're going in, you're taking over, you're checking out museums of the past and everything. It's just crazy. I think there's just more, there's more to put your foot on there than, you know, what is it? It's Vegas. There's going to be a Vegas mob. There's going to be casinos. There's going to be gambling, yada, yada, yada. I want to see survival. I want to see power armor going off. I want to see the different factions just kind of fighting in the open world versus just – because in Vegas it would be mobs. I mean, that's what it would be, zombies and mobs. But what do you guys think? Make sure you put it in the chat room. You guys will love to see if there are any other – Beacon joins, and he says, Nudie, love the shirt, but not the soup hair. Yep, there's a lot of soup haters in this world, let me tell you, or at least on this channel. Okay, Camp Fodder is now back and saying the game engine and the mechanics are the same. All right, so there you go. So, Al, there's kind of like a little bit of a retribution there for you. All right, golf courses. Beacon wants to see Fallout on the golf courses. That's Fallout 76, and I don't like it. No, moving on. All right. So let's move on to the next topic, because this is actually something I can't believe. So the Affleck was one of those, the Affleck announcement was one of those surprises for most of us. And then this week we got this, we got two major surprises that came out of right field that never, that no one knew was happening. The first one is one I'm excited about because my college years was dominated by this enough to where I could almost speak the language and have the voices of Comedy Central in their infinite wisdom are trying to find more shows and bring more humor to the Comedy Central. And they've gone and found this guy. I don't know if you've heard of him. His name's Mike Judge. And they are teaming up for a relaunch of the classic Beavis and Butthead. They've got signed for two seasons. Mike Judge will be writing. He will be producing. And he will also be, well, writing, directing, and also the voices. Because you can't have Beavis and Butthead's not Beavis and Butthead without Mike Judge doing his voices. So I could say I do it well, but anyways, there's two seasons. There's also talk of spinoffs of I think two new spinoffs or something, or maybe some spinoffs and some specials. So Beavis and Butthead are coming back to the world. He's going to write, produce, voice, and he's going to target what he calls the quote, the whole new Gen Z world. The people that have heard of Beavis and Butthead but have never been able to experience the Beavis and Butthead experience that we have had. I'm going to start with you, sir. What are your thoughts on the return of Beavis and Butthead?
Well, I wasn't Beavis and Butthead as a kid. My dad thought that it was going to, you know, make me terrible, terrible person. It was going to warp my brain. I watched it later as an adult, and I don't know, man. It's didn't they already try to redo it like 5 or 6 years ago? I seem to remember them putting out a season on MTV in the mid-teens or something like that. I wonder, because so much of that show was influenced by the fact that it was on MTV. You know, half the show is them sitting around on the couch watching music videos and making fun of it. And I don't see... I don't know if they could still do that on Comedy Central. But look, as long as Mike Judge is involved, that guy's a genius. You know, he's responsible for some of the best props that have ever been out there. Idiocracy, Office Space, King of the Hill. Like, the dude is a gold creator. So I'm, optimistic.
You are right. They did try to bring it back briefly. But the problem, you said the problem in your question is it was on MTV. I can't remember the last time I even looked at anything on MTV. I mean, the last time I saw anything on MTV was when I was looking up Headbangers Ball on YouTube. Okay. So no one watches MTV anymore unless you're into pregnant teen
except
moms.
Except for the challenge. The challenge is still going strong.
You know, the challenge is all right. But yeah, it's been dominated by the pregnant teen mom stuff. And I don't know what it's nothing music related anymore. So L, go for it.
Oh, boy. Okay, so yeah, MTV has not had anything music related on it since like early 2000s. And the only reason I remember this is because I, like, during the summer when I was like 12, I would stay up till like 2 o'clock in the morning when they finally played music videos. But Beavis and Butthead, wow. So my mom didn't let me watch it when it was out because I was too young for it and it just looked dumb. But my real question is like, They want it to appeal to Gen Z, and I don't know if the humor in it would appeal to them. Now, I only saw the movie. There was a movie, right?
Yep.
Beavis and Butthead to America.
Yep.
Yeah, because my roommate made me watch it, and I have no idea how I got through that, honestly, because Jesus. But yeah, I don't know how it's going to appeal to Gen Z. Like, their sense of humor, if you ever look on TikToks, if you ever look on whatever else they do now, it's, like, it's not bad, but it's not great. So I'm really curious as to how they're going to perceive it and how they're going to take that.
Well, I look at it like this. When I watched Beavis and Butthead, Beavis and Butthead was a satire of teenagers about that time when they were kind of like, it was a really weird time for teenagers during that time. They were trying to figure things out. The music was all crazy. And they were just a couple stoners with parents that were never around who would do stupid shit like cut their fingers off by trying to cut a grasshopper with a chainsaw, or whatever craziness they did at their burger job. But what made it interesting was just they were complete mindless idiots that people just loved watching. It took them away from whatever cares they had in the world for 20 minutes and be like, oh, my God, this is so stupid. But you know what? I love it. I mean, I liked it because of all the craziness you would see on the side.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah. I think there's definitely appeal, but I think it's if they're trying to, it's a generational thing where, like, yeah, in the 80s, like, coming home from, you know, from high school and just kind of, like, watching TV and doing whatever you do, like, that was because everybody had cable TV then. Now nobody really has cable TV now, and it's all Netflix and Hulu, and the way that people consume media and consume stuff is way different than back when it was there. So I don't know, like, that's kind of my thing is, like, the very few millennials I have I'm in contact with and know and communicate and interact with, like, I don't know if they're gonna get that humor. Like, they might,
yeah,
but I think it'd be interesting how it's received.
Go for it.
I absolutely see Hell's point here, because I do think the Beavis and Butthead were kind of, you know, they were very much a product of that mid-90s angsty grunge, you know, Gen X kind of, you know, latchkey kids that didn't have parents around and would do things like sit on the couch and watch MTV all day. But like I said, Mike Judge is involved and that guy's a genius. So I'm pretty confident that it's not going to be the Beavis and Butthead that we grew up with. He's going to change it somehow.
Well, and you have to remember it's on Comedy Central too. Comedy Central has no problem producing or showing shows that are questionable in taste or whatever, i.e. let's just, you know, South Park, dude. They've done everything in and out of the sun. And Comedy Central's like, hey, you know, you're doing, you know, 28 years. Keep doing what you're doing, you know. But, Nudie, what were you about to say about this?
I think it can be fun for a new generation. Check it out. I mean, personally, I agree with IC over here that the music videos are a big part of it. I think it'd be fun to see them try to integrate that in a different way with, you know, tie-ins with, you know, so – you know, there's not a lot of music videos out there these days is another thing, though. So, but I think it would still be fun to have that to represent it in some way. But I think we haven't discussed that I think is interesting is, especially with the way they tied in a little lead into a music video, this and that, everything. I think that Beavis and Butthead could be really good for, like, bite-sized entertainment, like kind of do something like digital shorts with SNL and that kind of thing. I think it'd be really great.
Adult Swim kind of thing?
A YouTube generation, exactly. Bite-sized little things that can... Because that's the way so much stuff gets buzzed these days. It's not even marketing, commercials, or even word of mouth. It's people making little clips, little videos online that get passed along that go viral, you know? That I think that Beavis and Butthead actually could be utilized in interesting ways for quick little bite-sized bits of jokes and fun things that naturally fits with what Beavis and Butthead already are, with the way the format of the show was back in the day. I think that short form could really work really well to get buzz out there in a modern internet age. And as long as they give me some more cornholio, I'll be fine because, you know.
Yeah. Which right now.
I need crapuccino for my bunghole.
I need TP for my bunghole. I need TP for my bunghole. But unfortunately, there's no TP for your bunghole right now. So he'd be going around crazy right now. some of the chat. Now, here's the thing. Some of the chat room. So, you know, Cannon Fodder is all down for it. He just said yes. Johnny Bon Johnny joins us. Cool. Cool. So he's excited for it. HGZ Grok is saying lots of love for Cornholio. TP for my bunghole, Beacon. And then HGZ comes in and tells us, remember when Mike Judge gave us Office Space. Now, this is where some of the things get in there. So, yeah, they used to watch videos. Well, Ruru2 says they'll be sitting on the couch watching Netflix of and Twitch. Let's see here. Best5150 said there'll be an episode about Beavis and Butthead trying to quarantine for the pandemic. Hold on a sec.
I want Beavis and Butthead's take on Tiger King.
They're probably like, I want to go there. I want to, like, raise tigers.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, have them eat people.
let's see here. Beacon says they're going to be sitting on the couch watching TikTok. Then they said, let's see. Cats wants Ren and Stimpy to come back. Rubuchu says that Gen Z is used to good animation like video games and anime. Beavis and Butt are too crudely drawn. Beacon does not agree with Cats as far as Ren and Stimpy can be left alone. And then Mestro's in a good one. He loves Beavis and Butt, but doesn't know how they're going to be able to pull from Rick and Morty, who I think Rick and Morty eventually took over that crowd for Beavis and Butt, or kind of like that, and also took some from South Park, yeah, so it looks like TikTok videos are going to be what they're going to be watching for some of their people. Like I said, I'm excited for it. I think this is a great time for them to bring something back like that. And I think if Mike Judge has his hands all in it and then some, and Comedy Central is like signing on for it, this is Comedy Central. Once again, this is MTV. It's not music television, who doesn't show any type of music on television. This is a show that's dedicated to all things comedy and has all different types of shows. And when you have one of the greatest cartoon series of all time in South Park on that show still going, and they're willing to gamble or put Beavis and Butthead on there, they see something in it. So I think there's something to it. I think they're going to be able to pull something off, and you know, they're signed for at least two seasons. I could see them pulling out more as long as Mike Judge is able to bring it up to the times and stuff. So, but I'm excited. I can't wait to see it.
And I got to back HJZ Grok up on that Spike and Mike Sick and Twisted Festival of Animation. That was fun times. Thoroughly enjoyed.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So let's see here. One more surprise. It just came out. I just saw it this morning, and that's when I gave it to you guys to check out. I thought it was newsworthy to talk about. It seems that Disney's just not done taking over the world. Disney has signed everything from Star Wars, and they have Marvel, and God knows what else they've signed that we don't even know about yet. But this morning I saw an article that we definitely needed to talk about today, and it was for their Marvel side of things, their Marvel operations. Disney bought Fox Studios, which brought all the Fox Movie Studios products with it, which means we've been talking about X-Men and stuff like that. Couple things we haven't talked about have been the Fox movies that are going with Aliens and Predator. That's all Disney as well now. That's all part of their little umbrella. Now, as an added coup, though, here's the thing. They only had the TV aspect of it. There was still another aspect of it that they did not have control of, and that was controlled by Dark Horse Comics, or at least it used to be, because now Marvel has bought the rights to the Alien and Predator comic books. So now Disney holds Alien and Predator. Can you imagine Mickey Mouse playing with those little toys, huh? It was announced with the artist David Finch, who put out a couple pictures for the announcement. And it's kind of fun if you read the article, if you get to see it. He said he drew these pictures with the biggest smiles on his face when he's drawing these. One of them is a picture of a xenomorph, which, you know, looks cool, looks awesome. I'm excited about it. I didn't read or see anything into the picture that made me go, ooh. But the one that really got me interested was the Predator one, because it's got Predator on top of Avengers Tower holding in his left hand the head of Iron Man and what it looks like to be the neckline of Tony Stark in the helmet. So it's decapitated Iron Man. Now, I just want to go out there and say that in the article, they said there's no ideas or anything about crossovers right now. I don't think they even have the ability to do it right now with so much stuff they have going on with Marvel and all the stuff they have laid out for the next five, whatever many years. It's crazy. But I don't know. I'd like to see that crossover. I think that would be one hell of a... Hey, you know, Thanos can do it with the one army. Hey, let's just bring out a bunch of Predators and see what you guys think. Hey, Xenomorphs on the side. But what do you guys think? Big win for Marvel, Predator and Alien comic books. Where do you think this is going to go? Nudie, we'll start with you this time.
Well, I mean, I think they're both really fun film franchises. I have very fond memories of, original Predator flick and good old Arnold, you know, with his Gatling gun. That was real nice. And, you know, and the original Alien, Aliens, Alien, all of that were great, great movies. So, you know, having the movies and the comics back together as one, where they can build those synergies together, I think is a great thing. Have the storylines together. It's fun. Like, they're really trying to solidify these properties that they keep holding and really getting everything all under one roof, which I think is fun. Like, they have a lot more directions they can go, and they can really go deep with these properties and the stuff they can do with them. And honestly, just if we could get an actual quality, good Aliens versus Predator flick, I think would be, you know, with the tie-ins from the comics, because they were actually quality, whereas the movie was complete dreck. So if we have that from this merger of getting the comics and the movies together, then, you know, I think that'll be well worth the investment right there.
Elle, what do you think about it?
So the only thing that brings to mind is, now I love me some H.R. Geiger stuff with Xenomorphs. He's the one who actually designed the Xenomorphs. And there's a like breathtaking bar, I believe it's in Lake Geneva in Switzerland, that's all Geiger-esque. Like, it's made out of a bunch of skulls and stuff, and looks stupid cool. So I'm wondering, now that with this acquisition of that, if there's going to be a new awesome Geiger-y place in one of the Disney parks, because like all the aesthetics of Geiger and the Xenomorphs is like stupid cool in my opinion. So that would be another cash cow that they can go for. But yeah, and the weird thing is, I've only seen the original Predator, the original Alien, and the original Alien versus Predator. I've never seen any sequels to any of them, only the originals. And oh gosh, Miss Sonic, sorry, did I break you, man?
You haven't even seen Alien 2?
Yeah, Aliens is like one of the few generally acknowledged sequels that were better than the original. Godfather 2, Aliens, kind of the two that get put up.
Game over, man.
Yeah. So, okay, so I might have seen it, but I just don't remember. I remember definitely seeing the original Alien, but not Aliens. And I've only seen the original Predator, not any of the other ones, and the only original Alien versus Predator. So, but yeah, that's all.
You need to watch Aliens. Okay. You go back and watch that one. Bring it back.
I'll add that to my list.
Yes, please. Put that on there. Type it in there. That almost made a grown man cry. I see, sir. Bring in your infinite wisdom, so with lack of hair.
Everybody is talking. I mean, everybody's mind jumps straight to Aliens and Predator versus the Avengers, right? Screw it's too easy. I want, because Marvel is owned by Disney and now owns Alien and Predator, I want to resurrect an old classic Disney franchise. I want Aliens and Predator versus the Mighty Ducks.
Oh my gosh.
Not Flubber.
I thought I was going to say like the black hole, because I would be like, dude, that would actually make sense. They come out of the black hole, and all of a sudden Aliens and Predators are on the ship. Holy crap.
I want Joshua Jackson to be the coach now, right? And he's coaching an upstart, plucky team of hockey kids, and then a Xenomorph bursts out of one of their chests. It's going to be fantastic.
No, bursts out of Emilio Estevez's chest. Come on, let's take him out of his misery. There you go. Here, now, my thoughts on this are this. I don't know if Disney's ready for what you're thinking, Al, because I think when it all comes down to it, Disney still has to keep that bridge, that line. They can't let – when you go to Disneyland, you think it's a great place. It's a kid-friendly place, yada, yada, yada. Even with the eating place, the street walk, whatever they call it and stuff, it's still family friendly to go through and stuff. Having something with freaking Xenomorph skulls everywhere, I think might be crossing the line there for Disney. I think
they might get real dark, man. I don't know. That's a little.
You want to know a secret?
What's the secret?
I've never been to any of the Disney parks.
What? Okay, you are an alien.
Okay, who vetted for her? I it was not me. I can tell you that. We're going to have to talk to our producers after the show. Wow. And I would tell you to go now, but yeah, okay. Let me skirt that really quick. Let me go to the chat room so we could save you a little bit. The chat room's going fun on this. Some quest people were asking. Let's see, Meswa was making sure it was Dark Horse, and yes, it was Dark Horse. They had crossovers back in the day with DC. I believe it was Batman and Superman. I can't remember if it was Batman or Superman versus Predators or Aliens. Do you remember that nudie at all? In the comic books?
What about them? Sorry.
If there was any type of crossovers with Batman and Superman with Predators and Aliens or something back in the day?
No, not back in the day.
Oh, okay.
It would be fun to see.
Rurutu brought up a good point that Marvel has the What If TV series that could possibly do crossovers with it. That's a good idea. We should probably trademark that since it's on our cast, so if they do it. All right. Let's see here. Let's see. They will probably lead the comics to draw interest in their own universe and hopefully continues the shows and films. Makes sense. Here's a good one. Cannon fodder. This is, great minds think alike. I would like to see a crossover with Deadpool and the Predator. I am down with that. Absolutely. Jesus. 1-2 Predators coming for you. Let's see here. Okay, let's see. You see all the aliens. You see aliens. Okay. Yeah, you should see aliens. That's Mess is telling you need to see aliens. I think Katz just had a heart attack when you said that. All right, because she did OMG on that one. X-Men the Brood Saga. Okay, that was Ruru 2. And L only you copied that, so good. All right, you acknowledged it. Fantastic Four versus the Predators. We've got some good suggestions here for crossovers. I'd like to see that too. Let's see here. Disney is not nerd credential. She's good. What? Disneyland's not a nerd credential? What show are you watching? I think, okay. I see. Have you been to Disneyland?
I have, but that's only because I lived in San Diego and it was within driving range. I grew up in a flyover state, man. There's no way I was ever getting to a Disney property as a kid.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, we'll give you the benefit now because you haven't lived here all your life, right, Al?
No, I have not. I lived definitely in Northern Colorado for the majority of my life. But yeah, it was nice knowing you guys. I guess I won't be back.
You'll be back. I'll fight for you, even though you need to sign sign something saying you're going to Disneyland. Affidavit. There you go. All right, here we go. Batman Aliens, Dark Horse Comics. All right, so yeah, we missed it. Cat's throwing it in there. Batman versus Aliens, Dark Horse Comics. All right. Cool. So there's a lot of good. Put some comments in there. If you're watching this now, put some more comments and some crossovers you would like to see Predators and Aliens versus. Or you could put it on our comments on our YouTube. If you watch this on YouTube or any of the other streaming things, Twitch or Apple, and you guys know the list. It's all on the screen somewhere in this corner. The editor does a great job on wherever it is. I'm just the face piece, guys. I'm just the flaunt, all right, and the lack of hair. Cool times, but I'm excited for that too. All right, well, we've got one more thing to talk about before we get out of here, guys. It's our last segment of the night. Somebody's got to talk about it.
We need to talk.
You talking to me?
Oh my God! Who told you?
Have you told anyone else about this?
What you talking about?
Look who's talking.
Somebody's got to talk about it. It's brought to you by, oh my gosh, I forgot to write it down on my notes, so I'm opening up my page. NASA, there you go, I remembered it now. NASA, once again, is saving us from the pandemic that it is. Ever since this pandemic has started, NASA has given us one gem after another. Everything from SpaceX and NASA launching in space and all the craziness we saw before. But now, this week, they've given us another gem. Their minds and brains have put their stuff together, and they have found out that they have found the center of our universe or our solar system within 100.
Not the universe.
Solar system, excuse me. Sorry. It's the root beer that's kicking in. Try again. Found the center of our solar system approximately within 100 meters. That's freaking crazy. Because there's how many Earths could fit in this damn sun, and they figured it out within 100 meters? It's insane. When you go to read the article, they say that we would think that the center of our universe is should be in the center of the sun, but they have actually said that it's not. It's about just above the surface of the sun, somewhere in one of those crazy arcs that if you touch it, you instantly vaporize kind of thing. Dude, is NASA coming through again? Like, what other kind of crazy stuff are they going to talk about? Now, Nudie, I know this is a big, you love the science and space and stuff. When you read this article, what did you think about this, sir?
Well, I mean, it only makes sense. Like, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction, including gravity. And, you know, every object has gravitational pull on every other object. So, yeah, you know, the sun would seem like it's at the center, but, like, Jupiter has a pretty massive gravitational pull all on its own. So as Jupiter's orbiting the sun, it's pulling back on the sun. And so the sun isn't just sitting there with Jupiter going around it. It's kind of, you know, they're affecting each other as they rotate. So, and every other, you know, thing that rotates around the sun has a slight change in perturbations in that. So the fact that they've actually been able to calculate it so specifically is great, especially for the impacts it'll have on being able to understand gravitational waves specifically is really interesting. The fact that the more precise they can locate that center of our solar system at a particular time allows them to unlock much more research and greater research is the really cool, interesting thing to me.
L, how about you? What do you say about this, about NASA just dropping the knowledge again?
I think NASA is probably one of the greatest content producers ever, because I feel like they just got a bunch of stuff that they knew already. And they're like, we're not going to tell anyone until there's like a slow news week. And then we're just going to drop something super cool that nobody knew about before. And they just have a stockpile of stuff that sounds really cool, but they're like, oh, we don't know. It's like, guess what we just found out? No.
I have to admit this week was kind of a slow news week for me. So I dropped a line to one of my friends there, and yeah, sure enough, they did. They helped me out. They gave me the love. Thank you.
Yeah. That's my NASA conspiracy theory. No, it's really cool finding out stuff. I mean, I'm also one of those. It's like, why do we spend so much time figuring out stuff like away from our own world when we don't even know what's at the bottom of the ocean? And then I think about it, I'm like, I don't want to know what's at the bottom of the ocean, because I swim in there. Like, yeah, like aliens. Rather go with aliens.
Cthulhu.
Yeah, I don't want to run the Godzilla or Megalodon. That's all I got to say about yeah, that. No. I see.
If NASA can pinpoint the gravitational center of our solar system to within 100 meters, then why the hell is my GPS not better? Okay, this is garbage. That's get some better satellites up there, guys.
Well, they
need more XP satellite to unlock that feat.
And that is planned obsolescence. You know, the military can do it way more accurately than we can. They're just not releasing that to the public. And that's not some conspiracy theory stuff.
I know.
That's real. Now, here's my thoughts on it. This is just the next step to us making it out there. In order for us to understand the gravitational pull, like you said, of our solar system and whatnot, is going to make it a hell of a lot easier for us to make it out to Mars or wherever else we need to go. This is that next step that we need to be able to start experiencing other planets. Obviously, from here, we're going to go back to the moon. But I think this was a major step they needed to find in order to make accurate, detailed plans on expectation, timelines, and everything, and how we can get out to Mars safely to be able to start looking if we can either find life on Mars, if there is any, or to at least start life again on Mars, i.e. colonizing it, everything. So it's a huge step. We're never going to see all that stuff in the future, but at least we saw the beginnings of it, because that's exactly what I think it is. NASA finally found that one equation that once you figure it out is going to make things a lot easier for them to figure out the rest of stuff. It's not like it's not already easier already. We can build ventilators in 35 days, send people to the moon with compasses and slide rulers. Hell, they could figure that out too. Shit. Now they got to figure out how they get me up in space before I get old and gray and move on to the next world. So hurry up, NASA. Hurry up. Make it economy too, because I can't afford that crazy SpaceX.
Who's going to help you out there? Yeah. Elon Musk and Richard Branson got your back.
Yeah, I can't afford $50,000, man. That's for sitting next to the toilet, or probably sitting on the toilet. So I don't want to be in that room when the blue stuff starts flying. Guys, that's our show. That's it. We made it. We did it. Thank you guys so much for joining us on the show tonight. It was great hosting tonight. Next week, I'm sure we'll get we'll get Mess and a bunch of other characters back. It's a 4th of July weekend. For some of those guys, it's retail hours, good times. I do not miss those times. But anyways, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate you. Now, if you can, do yourself a favor. Take a minute, if you haven't done so already, to like or subscribe to our Twitch channel there. If you have Amazon Prime, that means you get a free subscription to any Twitch channel of your choice. Make us your choice. That'd be great. Also, do yourselves a favor. I know we get a lot of regulars here every week, and we even got a new one, family member. Feel free to invite other family members and other friends next week. Let's see if we can start getting more people here. Obviously, you guys are having enough fun, so we could probably keep other people's minds engaged for about an hour during this crazy pandemic time. You can follow us to all those crazy platforms. I think it's on – trying to remember. I think it's that side. I think it's right there where the finger is, but if not – it's that side where that finger is, but we'll figure it out. You know, we got a great editor. Follow those spots where you can follow us, Malice-Corp. Check out our site. Even check out our Facebook page where we're throwing up great news articles and crazy memes and all that good stuff. So speaking about following us, Nudie, you got your hair ready to go and everything. Where can these fine viewers and fans of ours follow you, sir?
You can follow me at Superman Hair at Instagram. Nudie Rudy on Instagram. On PlayStation Network and usual spots, Twitter and all that. So hope to see you guys around.
Yes. Let's see here. Elle, where can they follow you?
Don't. No, I'm kidding.
Not to Disneyland, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, you can follow me. I don't really do social media too much, but damn it, and our podcast is on the fritz right now. Honestly, there really is nowhere you can follow me at the moment. Just rewatch the Twitch podcast, and if you missed anything, make sure you go back and check them out. And just Malice Corp. Don't follow me.
I was about to say you can call 800 number. It's $5 the first minute, $4 each additional minute. Go old school there. You know, I don't know. You can tell they had crazy joke ones. They had joke ones, yeah.
They did have joke ones.
They're funny jokes from comedians.
What was the psychic?
Oh yeah, there was a psychic lady. Absolutely.
Yeah, Miss Cleo.
Yeah, Miss Cleo. Get your mind out of the gutter. There was other cool things.
What other telephone thing takes like payments per minute other than like Lifelinks?
The podcast that I'm wearing a shirt did an episode on Miss Cleo.
Nice, very nice. All right, I think there's that Farmers Meat stock, Farmers Singles that might do it. I don't know. I see.
Be lonely.
It's been a long time since we've seen you. Remind these people where they can follow you at, sir.
I see Zorro on Twitter, Instagram, and if you're playing Warzone, absolutely add me on PlayStation or Activision or whatever. I'm playing Warzone a lot.
I now see the inspiration to your haircut and beard. Good call. As Mess told me, you could follow on Stitcher and Apple, Spotify, and now, drum roll please, iHeartRadio. That's right. We're big time. We're hanging out with the radio stations. We are on iHeartRadio, which means I could press... I've got that old school remote control that has in the top right hand corner iHeartRadio. So I could actually click that button and listen to something I actually want to listen to if I wanted. You follow me at Masonic Vader 71 on PlayStation Network. Masonic Vader, I think, on Twitter. Guys, thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. Hope you guys are enjoying the beard. You guys have a great weekend. Please be safe. Stay away from people at the beach and wear a mask and stay nerdy. We love you guys. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Wear your mask, people.
Carry on.